Nigeria was just one of many countries and issues mentioned by President Obama in his big foreign policy speech today. In fact, the president's main points were broad. As we heard earlier, he said America must continue to be a global leader, but he also stressed that leadership doesn't always mean using military power.
But U.S. military action cannot be the only or even primary component of our leadership in every instance. Just because we have the best hammer does not mean that every problem is a nail.
That seemed like Obama's response to those critics who say his foreign policy is indecisive and weak. We reached out to Politico editor Susan Glasser to hear what she thought of what the president had to say today.
One thing that's striking to me is the extent to which even now, basically 6 years into the Obama presidency, he's still making the case for his foreign policy as being a not George W. Bush's foreign policy. And it's a very strong case that he laid out at West Point today that it's time to move on from the wars of the last decade in Afghanistan and Iraq, that this is about closure and wrapping that up rather than some big, broad, new initiative to project American power and force in the world. But look, the majority of American people, Republicans and Democrats, are in strong agreement with Barack Obama when it comes to that and the idea that they are war-weary and people are not looking to get embroiled in further military conflicts abroad, even in cases like Syria where there's this horrible loss of life.
Well, I mean, people we've spoken with around the world say they've lost confidence in the U.S. and specifically Obama's ability to keep promises like the phrase red line, as in Syrian chemical weapons. That did not come up in the speech, not surprisingly. But do you think it should have?
A few weeks ago, Obama was on a trip to Asia and made a very interesting comment that got a lot of attention here. Connected with this criticism, he said, you know, the goal of my foreign policy is basically to do no harm, to hit singles and doubles. If you hit for the fences all the time, you often strike out, and that's how you lose games, and I'm not going to do that. And he got a lot of pushback from that, from people in his own party as well as the Republican Party, as well as people internationally. Most people read that as a sign of his restricted ambitions. I think to Obama and his team, they read it as smart moneyball approach to foreign policy, if you will, and, you know, just as an actual metaphor, well, that's how you win baseball games, is by getting on base.
Well, to continue that lovely baseball metaphor, it sounds like if he's saying the U.S. will continue to use force unilaterally when core national security interests demand it, and he's saying we're going to bring out the bats. He also brought up something we were discussing on The World a few minutes ago, the abductions of schoolgirls in Nigeria. And there are not clear national security interests. Let's take a listen to that.
America does not simply stand for stability or the absence of conflict, no matter what the cost. We stand for the more lasting peace that can only come through opportunity and freedom for people everywhere. Which brings me to the fourth and final element of American leadership: our willingness to act on behalf of human dignity.
Right. So Susan Glasser at Politico, the U.S. should act on behalf of human dignity, says Obama. Where does his standard for unilateral action go when the public is deeply moved, like by Nigeria and those schoolgirls?
Well, you know, there's no question that the public is moved. You had Michelle Obama herself embracing this hashtag diplomacy, if you will, and urging us to find a way to bring back the girls. I think that's going to be an increasing phenomenon in this age of global connectedness. But in reality, our tools to operate in remote areas of Nigeria are limited. The Nigerian military, which we support with millions and millions of dollars of assistance, we've tried to turn them into a reliable partner. That clearly has not been a success. And frankly, our stomach for it is limited.
What has been his evolution on U.S. exceptionalism?
Well, Obama took a lot of heat from the Republicans in the 2012 campaign. They resurrected a quote, basically, where he sort of said, I believe in U.S. exceptionalism just as Brits believe in British exceptionalism and Greeks believe in Greek exceptionalism. And that was taken as evidence that somehow Barack Obama didn't think that the United States really had a special history and mission and destiny to bring democracy to the rest of the world. So he spent the last several years, more or less, apologizing and falling all over himself in the effort to assure people, no, really, I think America's great. It's kind of a silly argument, and I don't think it tells you that much. The more revealing thing is, listen to Barack Obama give a speech about foreign policy. He's going to talk about the importance of seeing the world as it is. And to me, that is the essence of Obama's foreign policy. He's a realist, a hardcore realist. It's a very unusual foreign policy approach for a president, by the way, of either party. And he very much is determined not to sort of charge off in favor of crusades of, you know, democratization if he thinks that the odds just don't stack up in our favor.
Peel back for a moment Obama's push for realism in the world. What do you think he was really trying to accomplish today overall at West Point?
Well, again, I think this was meant as an answer to his critics, but also to say, just because I'm not an isolationist doesn't mean I'm actually going to do anything big at the moment in the world. My big accomplishment as president, he is telling people, is to end the old wars and not to start the new ones. And I think that was the goal of his speech today.
Susan Glasser, editor at Politico, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.